Evening. We're very happy you're here this evening. It's very encouraging to see a good number come out and have interest in the things that we're trying to study, and appreciate you being here very much. I want to begin this evening by saying I said something I believe was not correct last night, and I'd like to address that. I said that David was not allowed to build the temple because of his sin with Bathsheba, and I think the correct thing is because he was a man of war. And Liddell pointed that out to me, and given that some thought today, I want to state that I don't think that was correct. And so if you find something I say that's incorrect, well, come talk to me. I'm not going to be upset with you about that. I want to discuss a topic this evening about our kids. A lot of people complain about our kids. People complain and say that kids nowadays are no good, they're lazy, and they don't want to work, and they say a lot of things about our young people. And I just want to state for the record, I think within the church we have some fantastic young people. I believe that with all my heart. But I'll tell you something, the quality of children that we have in our society today is a direct result of the quality of parents that are there. And so we can look at kids and maybe be disappointed or complain about those kids, but if you're going to do that, you need to review your own life and look at yourself, because the kids have been trained by their parents. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I'd like to say this. It's very hard for a child to think about God if their parents don't teach them about God. It's a very challenging thing for a child to dedicate themselves to God or have an interest in dedicating their life to God if the parents don't take them to the worship services, if the parents don't study with that child at home, if the parents don't live a life that leads those children to understand and believe that God's important. So it's not just simply a statement to the children. In a way, it's a statement to parents. To live the kind of life where your children will be dedicated to the Lord. If they're not the kind of children who learn to love the Lord, there's going to come a day when they'll say, "I have no interest in these things. I have no pleasure in them." That's very true. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 18, the apostle says, "This charge I committed to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest by them war a good warfare." War a good warfare. In the sense of the subject, Timothy was a younger man. He was raised up by a mother and a grandmother who had faith in Christ. We don't read anything about his father so much in the scriptures. But the admonition was for him to engage in the fight of Christ. And we all have an interest in seeing young people do that. Engage in some way in the fight. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, he says, "For though we walk not in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's a theme that runs through the pages of the New Testament. In fact, the pages of the whole Bible that has to do with war. Good and evil, and they're at odds with one another, and they're not going to get along, and they're trying to find out who's going to prevail. There's a war going on. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Maybe it's going on right under your nose, and maybe you haven't noticed. There's a war that's going on, folks, for the heart and soul of your child. There's a war that's going on to change the nature of life, the nature of the family, on? And the society that you live in today wants your children to believe that truth can be anything, that a man can be a woman and vice versa. And I could go on and on and on and just unload a litany of grumps and complaints. You know this is true. There's a war that's going on for the very soul and spirit of your children today. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And I want to tell you something about kids. If you don't teach them along the way and you don't train them along the way, they're going to grow up and they're going to leave home and go to college or a trade school or into the workforce, and the world is going to chew them up and spit them out. To me, my kids are raised. It's done. It's over. I can't go back and redo it. I can't go back and make them little and do better. It's over. And you got one shot at this. And so maybe you're here today and you've got a bunch of children. That's wonderful. God's blessed you. Maybe you're here today and you don't have children yet, or you hope to be married someday. Maybe you're here today and you're older and you're like me. You've already raised your children. Well, think about these things. To help those who do have children if we don't. Our kids need the whole armor of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace." You know, we all understand what he's talking about. There's a season where things are appropriate. And there is a season to train your children to be aggressive in teaching and training and setting their affections on the proper things. There's a time of war. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 7, he says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. I'll tell you, think nothing's changed. There's still a tremendous battle that's going on. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13 and verse 4, he says, "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle." I don't know if you hear the noise, but I want to tell you, I hear it. I don't know if you hear this noise of people gathering, but I hear it. I don't know if you understand that there's a war that's going on right here in your house, in your family, in your home. There's a fight to be fought. And the Lord musters the army. He's calling for soldiers to come to the battle. The Lord of hosts does this. He calls for his people to stand and to fight. Now, if you're taking notes this evening, you will want to take note of Psalms 127. We're about to turn to Psalms 127 and do some studying. And this has become a very curious psalm to me, a very dear psalm to me. I'd like to study it with you for a little while this evening. And it begins just like this, a song of degrees for Solomon. And I think that's kind of interesting that either it was written by David for Solomon, it sounds like an admonition from a father to a son. Now I have a son, I've got a son and two daughters. There's certain things I wanted them to know, and they were a little different for the girls and the boys because they're different people, different things there. But I want you to notice the beginning of the psalm. I believe David wrote it, I believe, for Solomon. And this is what he said, "Except the Lord build the house." So I want you to take that home with you. You young folks, listen to this old man for just a minute. The Lord needs to build your house. The Lord. Not social media. Not sports and video games. Not what everybody else is doing. He says, unless the Lord builds your house. Now, I'll tell you, this is not anything different than what our Lord Jesus said. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 24, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You know what he's describing there is individuals who make wise choices and wise decisions to follow the Lord. That's described to us as building a house on the rock. And he goes on to say, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. People, we got to make good choices and decisions in our lives. We can't make terrible decisions every day of our life and then get to the end of our life and go, well, what went wrong? That won't work. And so we've got to make choices and decisions. And that's exactly what David's trying to get across to Solomon. You've got to let the Lord build the house. You've got to let the Lord build your life. And I want to encourage you to do that. And this is what he goes on to say. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. If you don't build your life on Jesus, it's a waste. It's a wasted life. It's wasted time. It's wasted energy. It's wasted finances. I could go on and on and on. The word vain means empty or meaningless. The labor of parenting, the labor of work to build a house, the labor of time and everything that goes into your life is a waste. Unless you let God build your house. So you young folks, I want you to take that home. Let God direct your steps. Make wise choices that come from the Scriptures. He says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, obviously, this is allusion to those ancient cities, and many of them had walls and were fortified, and they were big old strong cities. And even though they had great big walls made of stone, and they had towers and all those things, they still had watchmen to watch out. And day and night, those watchmen would be up there high on the walls of the city, watching for the enemy, watching for danger. They would be up there watching for destruction. And you know what he says? It doesn't matter if you have a watchman watching out. If the Lord didn't build the house, it's a waste. You're just robbing the watchman of good sleep he could have. You're wasting your time in training these soldiers to be prepared. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to build our lives on the Lord. Build a foundation that's rooted in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, and follow those things. That's what we need to do. And he goes on to say in verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early or to sit up late. I would tell you a story about my father. He's a hardworking man. He still is. He's 77 years old, and he likes to work. His hobby wasn't fishing. It wasn't hunting. He said, if I go hunting, I'm afraid I'll shoot a deer and have to clean it. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to work. And he had a belief that if he worked harder than other people, he would succeed. And so he got up 1 hour earlier than he felt anyone else was getting up. Or he would work 1 hour later. And he said, I get an extra day. Every week, everybody else gets 7. He said, I get 8. Because he got up an hour early. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day, he said, you get an hour for lunch. We don't count that. He said, I get an extra day. You know what? It doesn't matter how hard you work. If your life's not based on Christ, it's a waste. It's a waste. It doesn't matter how successful you are. In life. Doesn't matter how much money you have, or land, or cars, or homes, or we could go on and on. If you get so wealthy, you've got your own jet plane and a pilot to fly it. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are. If your house is not founded on the Lord, he says it's vain. It's vain to work that hard. And then he says this, to eat the bread of sorrows, to sit around and cry and worry and fret. You know, lots of people do. Lots of people do. Worry and worry and worry and worry. You know what the cure for that is? Build your life on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. He says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now he gives this advice to Solomon. Build your house on the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's a waste. It's vain. That's what he says. Then he switches gears just a little bit. He says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He's making a statement that's kind of interesting, and this is what he's saying. Children are an inheritance of the Lord. Your kids are not your kids. They're the Lord's. They're his inheritance. God had a purpose in creating this world and putting Adam and Eve and kicking the human race off. We belong to God. You're in God's hand. You know, one of the problems with America is we think we know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day, and we think we can plan it all. And the fact is, we have very little control of what happens day in and day out. You belong to God. Your children belong to God. They're his inheritance. And they should be valued greatly in that. God, if he's blessed you with children, you have inheritance of the Lord. He says, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And then he goes on to say this, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What are arrows? Arrows. Weapons, aren't they? A weapon. I'll tell you, they're a deadly weapon. If you get shot with an arrow in the chest, you're going to die. It ain't going to be 10 minutes. You're going to be dead right quick. And so he's describing, because he's kind of changing this idea that we had talked about, arrows are weapons in the hand of a mighty man. He's talking about a man of war. He says, so are children of the youth. And he changes the tenor of the discussion that David's having, this admonition to Solomon, his son. He says, children, they're gods, and they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. They can make war. They can defend. They can make the peace. They can keep someone safe, or they can go attack an army. You see, that's the thing he's describing here in the sense of arrows. And then he says this in verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You know what he says? Have lots of kids. Have lots of kids. Now, when me and my lovely wife were young, she wanted to have 3 kids. I thought that's too many. I thought 2 was enough. She wanted to have 3 kids by the time we were 30. And you know what? We did. We did. We got older, and I said, I wish we'd had more kids. It's one of my regrets. They're a lot of trouble. Don't get me wrong. Kids are a lot of trouble. They're a lot of work. You got to put a lot of effort. You're not going to get much sleep. I've been through all that stuff. They cost a lot of money. The first child we ever had cost us $10,000. That same year, I made exactly $10,000. It was a little rough. Children, they're an heritage of the Lord. He says, happy is the man. You want to have joy in your life? Have some children. Raise a good family. There's tremendous satisfaction in those things. To love your wife and for her to love her husband and live together and raise a family. He said, this is going to be a happy man that has his quiver full of them. So I want to encourage you to do that. Then this is the next thing he says. But they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I'll just tell you frankly, as I studied this passage a whole lot about the last year or so, this just gave me trouble. I struggled with it. Except the Lord builds the house. And children are an heritage from the Lord. They're like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. And then he says, they're going to go talk to the enemy? And I don't know. I struggled with it. I'll just tell you something I found out through some study. The word speak can mean to subdue or destroy. And a light went on in my head. The word can also mean just to speak and have a talk. I'm going to tell you what I think Solomon is being taught. Teach your children to fight for the cause of Christ. Teach them that. Dedicate your kids to the Lord. They're God's heritage. They're a gift to you. Teach them to love the Lord. Teach them to fight for the cause of Christ. I believe that's what he's saying here. They're going to meet the enemies at the gate. If they love the Lord, they're going to battle the enemy. They're going to engage in the fight. They're going to have the courage to do that and the bravery to go along the way. And except the Lord builds the house, it's not going to work. Have you ever heard of fight or flight? You heard of that? That's a real thing. A real thing. A few months ago, me and my son Zane, we went coyote hunting down on Jack's family ranch. And we were calling coyotes and we were all cameled up and carrying our guns. And, you know, we look tough, I'll tell you that. And we got way down there by the creek, and I looked over, and there were some pigs over here at a deer feeder. And I said, let's go shoot them pigs. So we went sneaking like we were military men, and we got over there. And I said, once both of them pigs, there are two of them, they both get still, we're going to go 3, 2, 1, bang. We're going to kill them both, and we'll be heroes, and we'll come out of here. Well, those pigs wouldn't be still, and they just milled around and around and around and around, and finally they just left. So we took off trying to be quiet, and then those pigs just kept going, and we was trying to chase them, and the next thing we're running, I'm going, and I top a hill, and there's a pig, and I went, blam, 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 and I hit nothing but the ground. And my son went up a little further, and he got down on one knee, and he went, click. Boom, and he hit one of them pigs. I said, you got him. You got him. And he said, I think I got him. I said, I know you got him. I could hear it. I know. We went over and looked around. There's blood on the ground. You got him. And here, let's start now. It's the fun part. We're going to start tracking this pig, and we start looking. There's some blood here, and there's blood there. And we're going up this hill, and my son goes up ahead just a little bit. I said, you know, this track, this blood's curving this way. And there's a great old big plum thicket. We got out there, and that pig charged him, grunting and squealing. It's either fight or flight. And now, I'm just going to tell you, this is where legends are made. Here he comes. It's Mortal Kombat. And he squealed and ran. And I can't say it's a bad choice. And he said, holy cow, did you see what that thing did? I said, he nearly got you. Do you understand that there's a war that's going on? Do you understand?
We don't have a lot of choices. Fight or don't fight. That's our choices. Fight or don't fight. Well, what happens if we don't fight? Will we win? Can we win if we don't fight? If no one will go meet the enemy at the gate, can we win? No. You know it and I know it. We've got to be willing to fight. And we've got to teach our children to love the Lord enough to fight. If we don't do that, there won't be a church. There won't be a church right here. There won't be a church anywhere. Dedicate your life to the Lord. That's what we need. We need Christians to engage in the fight. Dedicate your marriage to the Lord. It's more important now than ever. More important now than ever. Dedicate your children to the Lord. Teach them to love the Lord. Teach them to love the church. Introduce your young men and your young women to the elders, to the deacons, to the evangelists. Let them get to know these individuals. Teach them to meet the enemy in the gate. The gate's the weakest place. Those cities were made of stone, those walls made of stone. The gates typically were made of wood, and that was the weakest point. And what he's telling Solomon is, unless you build your life and your house on the Lord, your children will not fight. And we got to teach our kids to love the Lord and meet the enemy at the weakest place. The most challenging thing, the hardest battle. That's the idea. What the church needs right now is warriors. This church needs Christians that are willing to fight, to go talk to their neighbors and their friends, to be stout-hearted enough to engage in conversations about the Scriptures, to be brave enough to say, hey, I want you to come to church with me. You may get a black eye for it. You may get called a Bible thumper. You may get treated in all kinds of ways. I'm sure you will. The church needs warriors right now. I'll tell you what else the church needs. We need warriors tomorrow. We need our parents to raise warriors. I've got a little grandson. He just turned 2 in January. When he walks in the church building, he sees me. He says, Pop. I say, yeah. He says, Pop, I got to preach. I say, get up there, boy. Go preach. And he'll stand up here and say, no, no, no. I guess he's heard a lot of negative preaching. No, no, no. I may be wrong. Certainly could be wrong. I don't think it's going to be that hard to teach that boy to love the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, he's at church every Sunday. His parents are involved in Bible study. They talk with people. They sing. Let's raise warriors for the Lord. We need to be fighting today, folks, but we need to be raising warriors for tomorrow.
You want to know why congregations are closing? A lot of them are. It's because not enough Christians are battling the enemy at the gate. That's a fact.
So maybe tonight you know a brother and sister in Christ who didn't make it. You know there can be a lot of reasons for that. Encourage them. Say, hey, come to the meeting. Encourage each other. Go talk to your boss. Go talk to your friend. Go talk to your brother about the Lord.
Raise your children in such a way that they'll run to the battle, that they'll bleed for the cause of Christ. They'll sacrifice their talents, their time, their strength, their money, their sacred honor for the holy name of Jesus.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 21, he says, "For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army." I tell you, nothing else has changed. Nothing's new. We don't think about it enough. But I've tried to call it to your attention tonight. We're lined up against Satan, army against army. It's us against the world. It's you and me. It's this church. And there's a battle. There's a war that's going on right here, right now, today. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. So I say this as we close. The best chance that you have of going to heaven is to fight. It's the best chance you have. You don't have as good a chance if you sit on the sidelines. You do not have as good a chance if you don't get involved. The timid do not have as good a chance. Engage in this Christian walk. Engage in this church. Support, encourage, and follow this leadership and fight the good fight. I'll tell you something. I want you to go to heaven. I really do. I don't know most of you all that well. Know some of you a long time. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'll tell you one thing. I want you to go to heaven. And if there's something that's holding you back from being engaged in the fight, you need to deal with that. You need to take that to Jesus. If there's something that's holding you back from being the kind of parent you ought to be, you need to deal with that. And you need to do that tonight. Now, that may take a hard thing. You know, we're going to have a song, and you're intelligent people. You know what that means. It's the invitation. I want to talk to you about that. It's an opportunity. Change the direction of your life. It's an opportunity to reset. It's an opportunity for you to evaluate yourself. And maybe, just maybe, what you need to do is get up and come up to the front and say, I need help. Maybe you need to confess you've not done the things you ought to do. You know what? Every one of us is in that place from time to time. But I believe with all my heart, what Jesus is about is helping people. He came here to help us. And if we'll humble ourselves, He draws near. The broken and contrite spirit is very valuable.
If there's something going on in your life you need help with, if you need a Bible study, if you're not a Christian tonight, please come to Jesus and let Him help you. The Lord musters the army. And so if we can be a service in any way this evening, please come as we sing.